Welcome back. Sex trafficking is thought by many to be a crime affecting young women from other countries sold into sex slavery around the world. But it's a huge issue in this country, and only 19 other American cities have a bigger sex trafficking problem than we do right here. That's why Missouri's 2nd District Congresswoman Ann Wagner took it on in Congress. Her work resulted in the Justice for Victims of Trafficking Act, JVTA, signed into law by President Obama in late May. It featured Congresswoman Wagner's key amendment, the Stop Advertising Victims of Exploitation, or SAVE, amendment. I spoke with Mrs. Wagner about it yesterday and asked her how sex trafficking is defined in the legislation.
Well, there are multiple pieces of legislation that go into the overall Justice for Victims of Trafficking Act. Mm-hmm. And to start with, this is kind of landmark legislation. It's the first time in 13 years that the Congress has actually passed new legislation in the realm of human trafficking, what I call modern-day sex slavery. And they had done authorizations, reauthorizations, but never something new. And what the Justice for Victims of Trafficking Act does is it takes about 10 different pieces of bipartisan House-passed legislation and builds them all into one. And JVTA, it literally provides for safe harbor laws that stop the criminalization, especially of these young minors that are sold into this trade. It improves law enforcement tools and prosecutors' tools, especially on the demand side. So if you're one of these men that is victimizing these young women and girls, you too are going to be prosecuted. And this gives them more tools, both on the law enforcement and the prosecutorial side. It helps us in collecting data, both from a state basis and a national basis, and some training to our federal employees, which is going to be fantastic and new, and a domestic trafficking victims fund, much like the Department of the Drug Enforcement Agency has done. So if you are prosecuted for human trafficking, you will be fined, they will seize your assets, and those monies will go towards the victims funds and some of the safe houses that we've also seen in Missouri and in St. Louis popping up, whether they're Magdalene House, the Covering House, Crisis International. I've been involved with all of them, and they're just they do a fantastic work, and we need more of those beds. There, frankly, are more safe havens for animals in our country than there are for young girls and minors and women who are sold into human trafficking. So those things are important. There's going to be block grant programs that are going to be key. And then, of course, the SAVE Act is also a part of this.
Which is yours.
It is. It's a piece of legislation that I have been ushering through now for the better part of 3 years. It has been signed by the president. And really, human trafficking has become and has developed into an online service. These traffickers will pay online classified websites, specifically like Backpage.com, and there are done many others to display their messages and to exploit these women and reap enormous profits, upwards of $45 million in 2013, the statistics have. So this will criminalize the behavior of the SAVE Act will of actually commercially advertising the sexual exploitation of these women and children in the internet marketplace. It puts it into the criminal code. So there are no civil penalties. There are criminal penalties of sometimes upwards of 15 years to life that will specifically protect two classes of victims, underage children and those who are being forced to engage in commercial sex acts against their will.
How easy is it going to be to get at the people who are doing this on the internet, though? I mean, that can be done quite anonymously.
Well, not when they're paying for the services. And right now, they will pay an internet website like a Backpage.com and others to actually advertise these young exploited children and women. And we will be able to track them and they will be prosecuted. And I also hope, Don, that it serves as a deterrent. If they know that criminal penalties come along with this and that they can do real jail time for selling these women as easily as you could a pepperoni pizza. I mean, it is outrageous. There are men in homes and hotel rooms that can fire up their computers and order up a little girl, a 14-year-old girl, to their room as easily as they could a pizza. It is outrageous and has really become the new way of exploiting these young girls and victims. So the law enforcement and prosecutors believe that we've given them the tools to go after them criminally now, and there were, gosh, I think upward of, I can't even think of how many attorneys general that wrote to us, 48 attorneys general that asked for this kind of legislation to be passed. So the SAVE Act was a part of the overall Justice for Victims of Trafficking Act, and it was, in fact, signed by the president on May 29th, 2015, and huge bipartisan support, and something that, you know, it feels good to reach across the aisle and work with not just my Republican colleagues who really did lead the charge on this, but with so many of my Democrat colleagues, too, who felt the same way about what I again, as I call modern-day slavery.
Of course, there was that major distraction at the very end as a result of the flap, if you will, over Loretta Lynch and the abortion language in the bill.
Yes, and, you know, there was discussions about the Hyde Amendment, and and frankly, the Hyde Amendment has been applied, gosh, for almost 40 years to any piece of spending legislation, and because there were victims' funds involved and so on and so forth, there were those that wanted to hold this legislation in the Senate, especially the Democrats in the Senate. And I will tell you, I called out our own Claire McCaskill on this very thing because this is important legislation and should not have been held up in the Senate. I'm pleased that they came around, that we were able to work things out and pass, as I said, this landmark legislation that at the end I hope is going to save lives.
I'm going to digress for just a moment now that you've brought this up. But I'm wondering, now that both houses of Congress are under Republican control, do you see any lessening of this bickering? That's probably not strong enough a word, that's been going on between the two parties in Washington that has drawn so much complaint from the public and brought, you know, Congress into such low esteem in recent years.
I hope so. It is one of the supreme frustrations, Don, that I have had. I've been here for not quite 3 years on my second term, and the dysfunction of this Congress, especially last year at this time, is absolutely uncalled for and wrong. We have got to work together to get things done, and I do see a change with some of my colleagues on both sides of the aisles, willing to represent their districts more, not listen to outside groups, do what's in their heart and what they think represents their constituents. So that is always my goal when we're passing legislation. And I have been able to work across the aisle on not just the human trafficking legislation, which is really was something that was born out of my time serving as a United States ambassador. I saw this in the world, but I had no idea, Don, how prevalent it was in our own neighborhoods, our own faith communities. Every cul-de-sac, every school district, every neighborhood is touched, believe it or not, by human trafficking. And these are American girls and young boys and children and women who are being exploited and abused. It obviously happens on an international basis in huge numbers, upwards of, according to Homeland Security, 20 million victims worldwide. So we've worked on that. We've worked on other sexual exploitation legislation. I've worked on financial services legislation, helping low and middle income investors on in a bipartisan basis. We've worked on energy solutions. And I hope that there's going to be less rancor and more coming together to get things done. That's what the American people demand. That's why I'm here and make this journey from Baldwin, Missouri, every week to come back.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the international aspect of this sex trafficking. I wanted to get to that because I think a lot of people have probably assumed wrongly that this is basically something that we're dealing with youngsters coming in from Eastern Europe and Asia. But the national figures are startling, as you've just described.
They really are, and they are outrageous. And 80% of the victims in the United States are, in fact, U.S. citizens. They're not just coming in from Eastern Europe or from third world countries. Now, I saw a fair amount of that when I did serve internationally as a U.S. ambassador, and that's what really piqued my interest in it. But there are tens of thousands of victims right here in America every single year that are being exploited and that fall prey to this kind of modern-day slavery. And whether it's through use on the Internet, people stalking them, through there could be, you know, false modeling gigs. There are false babysitting and nannying gigs. There's one scam after another to try and get these girls and young boys into this hideous, horrible, victimized life. And sadly, I will tell you, Don, that St. Louis is in the top 20 for human trafficking, especially among our youth. And it is not a statistic that we should be proud of, one that I know we're addressing. And both our state legislature and our local authorities have been very active and willing to embrace some of our activities, both legislatively and in terms of education and awareness. And this is just the beginning, Don. This isn't the end. We're going to do whatever we can to continue to increase awareness and to train in schools. I just recently met with a number of superintendents about some programs that could be offered at the junior high and high school level. We certainly are training in the healthcare community, in the convention and visitors bureau community, in the transportation, if they're coming in by bus or train or plane, how to educate and build the awareness among people in that field. So education and awareness is key, but sometimes there is legislation that needs to be passed and dealt with. And as I said, it had been 13 years since we had done anything meaningful, I felt like, in this arena, and the way these women were marketed and exploited had really changed given the Internet. Mm-hmm.
What specific tools does a local law enforcement get from JVTA? Are there specifics we can talk about?
There are some, and I can certainly, you know, send you some of the specific information in terms of law enforcement. But really, it comes with funds and forensic information that they're going to have, data information that's going to be allow them to go after some of these pimps. And what's key here in terms of the prosecutors and the law enforcement side is going after, for the first time, the demand portion of this. They always went after the pimps, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or they try and criminalize these women for prostitution. So that takes away, with the safe harbor laws, takes away the criminalization of, because really this is about exploited human beings that are there against their will. But going after the demand side, those people that are sitting up in that hotel room or that home preying upon these young victims, that is going to be a major tool that I think prosecutors will have, as it will with the SAVE Act, to be able to say, wow, you're paying X number of dollars, and as I said, upwards of $45 million in advertising totaled from online prostitution, and to say, you know what, Backpage.com, you can't accept those ads anymore. You need to change your business model. And those of you who have been posting these for paying a fee to put these women and children up on the Internet, you are going to jail. So there are a number of rings that do this and that are offshoots, not just Backpage. And it's any kind of advertising also, Don. It could be a flyer. It could be a billboard. If you are commercially advertising human trafficking victims, then knowingly we're going to we're going to go after you. We're going to go after you under the criminal code.
It seems to me, though, there are probably already a lot of laws on the books with regard to, you know, prostitution and pandering and statutory rape laws and things of that kind.
And there's the Human Trafficking Criminal Code is code 1591, and there's a whole litany of words, and I don't have the code in front of me, I apologize, but it will say things like if you coerce, if you harbor, if you transport, and what the SAVE Act did was simply add the word advertise, and then went into the penalty phases of it. So there are a number of keywords that will trigger that kind of prosecution of criminal activity and define what, in fact, is the criminal activity on human trafficking. And the commercial advertisement now will be under that realm, along with some of the tools that I think are going to, both from data collection to training, the safe harbor laws, to, frankly, the victims' funds that are so widely needed.
Legislation, of course, and legislating involves compromise. Is this as strong as you would have liked it to be?
Oh, gosh. If I'm getting something done, Don, it's never as strong as I would have liked it to have been. But that's not how you get things done. Passing solid bipartisan legislation is a give and take. And you never compromise on your core principles, and we did not, and we fought many in industry and had to do the kind of training and education that comes along with that, both of our colleagues, just even to recognize that this was a big issue and that 80% of those victimized in the U.S. are, in fact, U.S. citizens. But sure, this is always, as I said, a give and take, and I'm pleased to do that. Any kind of incrementalism that we can do to pass good, solid legislation that puts us on the right track to save these victims from modern-day slavery is absolutely the right thing to do, and I will continue to do it and also continue to do whatever I can to raise the kind of awareness and education and training that is necessary. So we've been involved in seminars and best practices. I've been on sting operations. I've sat down with the prosecutors and with law enforcement and with so many advocacy groups that that frankly it's been a pleasure and a little different as a Republican to sit down with some of these groups that I've never been able to join hands with and for a common cause. But I feel very, very strongly about it, and I'm just so pleased that the president did sign this at the very end of May.
If you could, by legislative fiat, add to it, is there something that you'd like to stick in it that's not there that you wanted?
Well, I'd sure like more than 15 years to life. Anybody that exploits children in this way, and people that are really victims that are being held against their will and forced to engage in these kind of commercial sex acts, I'd have a far stiffer penalty for them, and I probably won't say it on the air.
We'll just try to figure that out. We've probably come pretty close. I have seen some concerns expressed about it, and that is about the mandatory minimum sentencing aspects of it. Some folks are concerned that it will take discretion away from judges that they should have. Is that a concern of yours?
It's not. As I said, when it comes to what I consider modern-day slavery, I don't think the penalty could be high enough for this kind of exploitation. I understand their concerns, and certainly in some of the other prosecutorial areas. But if I were dishing out the penalties for this, it'd be a whole lot stiffer than 15 years to life. But I'm glad we could come to that kind of a compromise and get this important legislation passed.
So it's got the total Ann Wagner seal of approval.
It most certainly does. And is just the beginning. As I said, I'm going to continue to fight for these most vulnerable in our society that really have no voice and slip through the cracks. And it's the right thing to do. It really is. And I'm so glad to join hands with on a bipartisan basis with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle and with the president to get this done.
I'd like to touch on one or two other things, if we could, as time will allow here.
Yeah.
A couple of things perking right now. I'd like to get your take on what's going on with the Confederate flag and the uproar, number one, but the reaction to it and the fact that so many people are moving to remove these flags.
Well, I think that Governor Nikki Haley has done a fantastic job, and I applaud her in that regard. You know, certainly this is America, and everybody can have their right to whatever they want to do on their own personal property, but I think that that she showed real courage in what was going on in front of the State House, so I applaud her efforts.
It was really striking to listen. I don't know if you had a chance to hear Paul Thurmond, Senator Paul Thurmond, disavowing that whole concept. I saw him last night.
No, I did
really
not see it.
Quite striking. I mean, Strom Thurmond's son, and it was really quite striking because he said, get rid of those flags.
I will tell you, certainly in public buildings and in front of the State House, it's the right thing to do on so many levels. So, as I said, I will support anyone's freedom of speech on their own private property, distasteful as it may be, but this is important. So, and I applaud her efforts. So,
in as much as we spent a second talking about the aftermath of Charleston, I think people are going to be talking. They are already talking guns again, legislation, Second Amendment stuff. Quick thought on that.
Well, you know, to me, what we saw happen in Charleston should not be politically exploited at all, and really has nothing to do in the Second Amendment arena and with guns. What we saw there was the face of true evil, and you can't legislate against evil. And I'm a strong Second Amendment advocate, and as I said, I think that was the true voice and face of evil, and it pains us tremendously. What I was so pleased to see was the community in Charleston, and as a nation, rallying around this community and not wanting to politicize it in any way, shape, or form, but really to make it about healing and coming together. And I thought that was a marvelous showing for our nation.
Missouri 2nd District Congresswoman Ann Wagner. Join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape when he'll talk to Mike Isaacson about the Muni's 2015 season, as well as his part in the Broadway musical Fun Home, which received 5 Tonys earlier this month. He'll also take a look at painter John Solozzo's St. Louis Icons exhibit at Third Degree Glass Factory. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about the controversy over whether to remove a Confederate memorial in Forest Park, as well as St. Louis's connection to the Civil War. We'll also continue our discussion of human trafficking with a look at the services Magdalen St. Louis provides for survivors. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with production assistance from Evita Caldwell, Aaron Dorr, Anya O'Connor, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.